everybody. Hello and a very warm welcome from the team at Newhall here today. We're delighted that so many of you have responded so positively to our invitation. Who knew that a year ago we'd be talking about, you know, establishing a new online community to help our online learners? But here we are at the beginning of week three. Thank you also for the very positive messages we've received from you all. We're delighted that, you know, in the main, our offer is going down so well with pupils. I think, our online offer mirrors and replicates exactly what the children in school are getting and what all pupils would have got had they been able to attend full time. But as you know, and we know, actually delivering that online brings its own problems and issues that need to be considered and resolved. And so today is really an opportunity for us hopefully to work together and to begin to unpick all those issues. And our aim, of course, is to improve what we're doing and particularly to improve the way in which children learn at home. And in that sense, we'll be looking at both the technical aspects of learning at home and, you know, the more personal ones, which we're very mindful of, because it's actually quite a complex scenario. So thank you. We've got a whole list of questions to work through. I'd just like to remind you, there is the chat feature as well, which you're very welcome to use as well, so that we have questions coming in during this period. And I think looking ahead that, you know, we don't know how long this is going to last, but we hope that in fact today is the first of perhaps a series of such workshops that we hold. We've gone for the lunchtime spot because we were mindful that most of you are indeed working from home yourselves, and we hope that this is a convenient time for you. So let me, I'm sure you all know Elizabeth Carter McQueen, and we're going to do a double act today and spend some time at going through the questions that you've submitted. And I'm going to start because the first one, quite rightly, given your role as your children's primary supporters at home, is very much about asking, you know, how much am I allowed, as it were, as a parent to support? And, you know, I think the answer from us is, you know, lots. Don't hold back at all. I mean, we would, of course, just caution that you don't become part of the online teaching scenario, but we very much want you to help the children, because if you think about how children learn in the classroom, you know, they have access to lots of different cues. You know, there's information on the wall, they have an interactive whiteboard, they have their friends and peers sat around them, and they, you know, they chat and help each other. That's a very, very important way to learn. I mean, that's apart from the fact that, you know, for most of the time in most classrooms, we have always, of course, a class teacher, and we have a member of support staff very often. So suddenly, they're at home on their own. They don't have access to that support. So we would be wanting to say to you, we will do all we can as teachers online to motivate and encourage and help them. But, you know, online, you cannot replicate that personal support. So please, you know, don't hold back on that at all. And it also, in terms of supporting children, another question linked to that is, you know, can children ask the teacher? And I think, yes, of course they can ask the teacher. Remember, there's the raise the hand function that they can access. They can do it in the chat. But also, they can also private message the teacher at the end of the lesson, particularly if they found the whole concept challenging. And, you know, what teachers do when they sit down in the evening is when they look at the children's work, you know, they make judgments about, you know, who's learnt it, who's confident, who needs a bit of extra help and support. So, you know, we very much welcome children feeding back, because when the staff, you know, we want to replicate that now so that when staff look at their work, and if they've had a few private messages about a particular aspect of the work, they will know that when they go back to that to revisit the next day, they'll know those children who need additional support. So do encourage them to do that. And just finally, in this little section, I think it's important to understand that many children don't understand new concepts the first time around, you know. I remember as a young teacher, my first year as a teacher, trying to teach long division, and saying to my line manager that I felt I hadn't done it very well, nobody really understood it, I'd obviously got the teaching wrong. And she very wisely said to me, "Don't worry about that, Marie, it's the first time that you've done it. You know, children learn by revisiting concepts, and we have to show them more than once." So don't, I would say, personally, don't worry yourselves, and don't, and encourage the child. It's important not to communicate any anxiety to them. I think that's about covers it, Elizabeth. Would you say, have I left anything out? So be positive, and they will enjoy your support, I'm sure. Don't hold back.
So the next section was something we had quite a few questions on, actually, and it's about the tech side of it. So not only have you in the last 2 weeks become full-time class teachers, you are also now tech support, which, as you know, I don't know if any of you work in tech support, is probably one of the most demanding jobs there ever is, and you don't know the answer, and thank God for Google, basically. So there was a lot of questions sent in, a lot, probably our biggest section, with questions about this document won't open, or it's opening as a PDF. Now, I think probably what's best to do on those, because they were all so individual, is I want to take all of them to staff to try and troubleshoot some of them and come back to individuals rather than go through them now. I mean, it's also because I probably don't think I could explain it well enough over a Zoom call, but I think it's better to come back to individuals. And what we'll try and do after this, maybe towards the end of the week, is produce a document that has the questions that people have asked and the working solution as well, because it's always good to have something to go back to and refer from. But one thing I am going to cover is about uploading work. So obviously in Google Classroom, you can do it. You either work on a document in Google Classroom and turn it in that way. The main question that we have from parents is about uploading photos. Okay, this should be simple, okay? So if you haven't already, one of the simplest ways to do it is get the app, okay, the Google Classroom app, and you can take the picture on your iPhone or whatever, your iPad. You click on the app and you upload it that way. And you simply click on the add or create tab, and then you select the photo you've taken and you upload it. On page 6 of the remote guidance that we resent everyone on Friday, there are screenshots of how to upload a photo. So if you're taking a picture of the child's workbook or a piece of art that they've done, that's the quickest way to do it. We've had a member of staff who actually last week had to be home with her son, so because he was being forced to isolate and the shoe was on the other foot, and she said it is very, very simple. So if you are struggling to upload photos and it's not proving to be as simple as I'm promising it to be, drop an email to the school office and we will contact you individually to help, because uploading photos should be very simple. It's on page 6 of our guidance. But if it's not proving simple, do just come back to us and we'll get back in touch individually. So that's just what I'm going to cover on tech support today. Keep going as well. And I guess what's the other answer? Turn it off and turn it on again. That's all I've got. But you're doing a great job, guys.
A number of you have asked about, the facility for smaller groups, or perhaps, pupils working one-to-one. And I think the reality is for us is that we've done one full week of this thus far. And the whole model is predicated on very high staff numbers. And it only works if we have in each classroom a full-time class teacher and 100% cover from an assistant teacher. And that, to be honest, guys, is more than we normally offer. So we've had to, in fact, increase our staffing just to get the core offer right. So to be honest with you, we're very, very mindful about contingency and being well prepared should we, should a bubble go down. I mean, I shouldn't say it, but my goodness, I can't believe.
Mrs. Carhill, please don't say it.
Just can't believe that we've got this far with all our staff healthy and thankfully all our children. So we are very mindful and we are very keen to offer more to our pupils at home in terms of smaller groups. But the issue really is about capacity, that we are absolutely stretched at the moment to our limits in terms of capacity, because, we're asking a lot of our teachers at the moment to teach online and live, all day, every day. So, it's a moving feast. It's constantly changing. But thank you for raising the issue, and we will certainly consider it, and we aspire to do more than we currently are. But I think just at the moment, we're absolutely fully stretched. Is, I think, all. Elizabeth, did you want to say something there?
No, I think I can imagine it's changing quite a lot in schools, and we'll be adapting. But I think it's really important that we make sure that we're fully staffed in all of our areas before we consider changing teaching.
Before we can change the offer. And following on from that, which is another question really about the structure of our day, I think a number of you would find it easier if we could be flexible about lunch times. But unfortunately, of course, with these new COVID arrangements, we've had to reduce from having year group bubbles to class bubbles. And that has brought about, further refinements in terms of our structure and organisation, which is all to do with, staff, as always, supervising. So in order to protect that, which, I'm very pleased to say has protected our community so far, unfortunately, we can't be flexible about the actual structure of the day in that way. We have to employ staff. For example, the impact on school budgets is quite significant, because we now have to have two lunchtimes to keep the groups of children separate and smaller. And having set it in place now and got it, as part of an important part of our risk assessment, unfortunately, sadly, we're not able to be flexible on that one.
Okay, I'm just going to revisit the uploading work, because I see there's a couple of comments in the chat and a few workarounds. If your child is working on a laptop or PC, what the best thing to do in terms of uploading work is, if you have an iPhone or a smartphone in the house, on that phone, get the app. So they watch the live lessons via the laptop PC, work on any Google documents on the laptop or PC, which is actually better for the children, better typing and so on. Then if you need to upload work, you take a photo on your phone or your tablet, and then upload that via the app on the tablet. So you're not doing any emailing across, you're not doing anything of that, or you simply, if you don't want to get the app, open the web browser on your phone or tablet and upload the photo that way. That's the simplest way to do it. So you have Google Classroom on two different devices. And upload it to Google Classroom. I see there's some other workarounds. I might come back to that in a minute once I've read them.
Okay.
The other thing I was now going to talk about, marking and feedback. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, this will follow via Google Classroom broadly how it follows in school. So feedback and marking to children totally depends on the child, the age of the child, what's appropriate for that lesson, and what the teacher has planned for, that unit of work or going forward. So how marking is done will vary slightly for each lesson, but broadly what's happening is that private comments are being sent to your children from the class teacher each day in English and maths. there might be some editing suggestions on Google Classroom in terms of a piece of writing or a piece of work like that. And the foundation subjects, again, a comment will be made. But the foundation subjects, I mean, like history, art, DT, not the English and maths. And it's mainly be done through private comments. Sometimes it might be appropriate that a teacher's looking at a class group of work and actually they can see that perhaps a whole number of children have got a misconception or they need something addressing, and they'll actually address it all together with the whole class because it's relevant to a number of children. We call that whole class feedback. It's about what's most appropriate for moving the learning on. So I do believe if you get the app and you enable notifications, you will get a ping every time perhaps your child gets a private message in terms of that feedback, which some people like, some people don't. So your children should be receiving comments on English and maths on a daily basis, and then foundation subjects over the course of the week. So linked to that, I wanted to come back to some messages we've had about the submission time for work. So we've stated that we need the work submitted, uploaded to Google Classroom by 3 o'clock. Now, I totally understand that we are all living in this imperfect world at the moment where you're trying to work from home, you're trying to parent your children, you're trying to teach the children, and then you've got us saying, oh, by the way, can you all upload work by 3? The reason we're asking that is how teaching works. So a teacher edits, adapts what they're going to do with your children the next day based on how the children have done that day in that piece of work. Our staff are obviously full-time teaching it all day from 9 to 3. They then spend the next 2 to 3 hours after school going through English, math, science, history, geography, and planning, feeding back to your children, and then planning what they're going to do with them the next day so that they can alter their lesson. If we don't have the work in by 3:30 at the absolute latest, it's very, very difficult for a teacher to be marking and providing feedback and planning the next day's learning. So I do understand the complexities and the pressures that it places on parents, but it's absolutely because we want to be providing a really good lesson for your children the next day. So we do understand the challenges, but it's to benefit the children, the reason we're asking that. I don't know if you had anything else to add on that, Lorraine.
A number of parents mentioned the sort of, what I'd call the disruptive noise element of having a classroom beamed live into your kitchen with all the associated chat and calling out to the teacher and so forth. And I think the easiest way to manage that really would be just to turn the volume down, really. There have been suggestions that children mute and unmute, but I think that would be extremely time consuming for the teacher, and we don't want to disrupt what I'd call the flow of the lesson. I think also the children at home need to hear the questions that other pupils are asking, because that's often important to the learning. And sometimes as a teacher, you do the input, you just chat to the class, you set it all up, and you realise, you know, in the first few minutes that actually there's a particular aspect they haven't got, and you just stop the whole group and talk. And I think it would be detrimental to the flow of the lesson if the teacher had to keep coming back and say mute, unmute, you know. So I think overall I'd say if it's distracting your child, you know, just remind them to turn the volume down, and hopefully you know, that will help them and minimize that. Another parent mentioned the time that, you know, they're often given, you know, a particular time, 20 minutes to go away and work, or 30 minutes to go away and work. And you know, children find timekeeping, you know, is not their strong point, and they're finding that difficult. Well, I would just tackle that, you know, put a clock on the table or the work surface that they're working on, or show them how to access the digital facilities on a phone, for example, to put on a timer, or, you know, if you've got a clock on the wall anywhere in the house, remember we always have clocks up in our classrooms, you know, just move it for the period of this lockdown so that they have sight of it, I think, during the lessons, you know, whatever comes easiest to you. But I think this is a good opportunity to, you know, if they're struggling with timekeeping, then this is a good opportunity to, you know, hijack this agenda, as it were, in terms of helping your child to learn good time, you know, time, the concept of time and how to keep good timekeeping skills. Elizabeth.
Yeah, we had just one message on contact about how to contact the school or class teacher. Now, what we want to do is keep Google Classroom as a learning space and a space for the child and the class teacher. What I would say is any contact, just come to the office at New-Hall, that address. There's always someone in the office. They've been manning tech support, and I sit right by the office as well. Benefit sometimes, but I appear to have become the person to go to for tech support, which is not always so good. But they run in here, they speak to me, and it means that we're taking the pressure off the class teachers in terms of managing those issues. So if you've got any questions, anything, you've lost your child's login, I was just messaging someone about that, office at, if the address we'd like you to go to as well. That would be great. Just on the chat as well, which links to a point I'm going to talk about, it's about well-being and eyes hurting from the screen and time, you know, screen time. It's imperfect, isn't it? You know, would we want children in front of screens for this amount?